Hey, I'm very excited for my next guest. Top 2% of the Smiths listeners.
Oh, don't tell people that.
No, that's so mean. No, you and just all our other listeners making up 2%. I'm delighted to have in the studio Xavier Enright. Good morning, Xavier.
Good morning, Liam.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Oh, it's delightful to have you in here. It really is.
Thank you.
Now, the reason you're here is Stones on a Beach.
Yes, yep.
Out today.
Yes, it's a song, not just the Stones that are physically...
it's not. He didn't release Stones onto a Beach. Stones on a Beach, the song is out today. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
You've been doing a bit of music stuff recently. How have you found it all?
Well, yeah, it's a lot of work. I've been recording all the instruments myself and writing all the lyrics and slowly just in my bedroom making my second full-length album, and it's been quite a lot of work, actually.
Yeah, I can imagine. And the whole promotional side of it as well.
Yeah, that's really the weak link of the whole organisation. But here I am doing a bit of marketing.
Yeah, yeah, so. I guess this counts, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a hard part, isn't it? You know, putting yourself out there.
I think it's a shame that artists have now had to become their own marketing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think they're two different skills.
I totally agree. It's the world we live in. Anyway, let's not get onto that. Let's just talk about your music in the meantime. Now, you've had a couple of songs on playlist, and I would assume people know who you are. But if they kind of don't know you and your musical style, Xavier Enright, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, well, my music... I mean, I don't know. I've really gone through a few different genres and things. I sort of started off trying to hit the... I want it to be a bit more like a lo-fi sort of Fat Freddy's Drop Dub sort of thing. That's how I started. But, I mean, I remember a fellow creative had warned me, the thing you start on, you'll end up doing something completely different.
Oh, yeah, that's so funny. That's very true, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And, I guess slowly I sort of found through my recordings, I went on this weird breadcrumb trail of sounds that I liked in my work, and that has led me to now making kind of like alternative folk, alternative country sometimes, I almost feel.
It's very good. It's very good.
Thank you.
And it's... almost brave in a way, because, I mean, it's very exposing, writing and recording music. Like, how do you internalize that?
Yeah, that was... Yeah, well, as I say, like, I feel like my creative journey has... I've just sort of felt my way and noticed what feedback I was getting. And, yeah, I always sort of had my heart on my sleeve a bit, I feel, lyrically. And I had a few sort of... You'd be having some beers... you know, with the boys and people you wouldn't expect would come up to you and be like, oh, I relate to your lyrics, bro, you know?
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, wow.
That happened a few times and that really spoke to me, you know, because I always feel that, I mean, it's always been my suspicion that there's a lot of men who feel the same way I feel, but, you know, we're just bad at talking about our problems.
Yes.
Sort of sparking the chat, I guess, and trying to be expressive and maybe a bit whingy, you know, a bit mofy.
Yeah, and there's almost something to be said for being a mopey male, given that a lot of men are just closed books, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we are particularly bad in New Zealand at talking about our feelings and all that. And you've been kind of quite vocal about this on social media and stuff, about like being really just like...
It's a whinger.
Very open about, hey, I want to whinge about something. I want to feel shit about something. I want to feel sad about something.
Yeah.
Do you find it... particularly men, like, does it polarize many men? Are they a little intimidated by it?
I mean, I don't know, like, I mean, I've always been teased for being a whinger. Like, but, you know, but it's like, I just thought I'd kind of own it. I mean, you know, I've sort of, I wouldn't want to go sort of too deep into being like, I'm leading the charge. I'm going to be this whinger for all the men in New Zealand, you know?
Yeah.
But I just, you know, like, that's kind of who I am. I love artists that are just, well, yeah, I have to confess discreetly, even though this is live radio, I do love, like, the Smiths and just sort of whingy artists who you know, but I don't take it too seriously. I don't, you know, I like that kind of comedic, theatrical aspect to it.
Yeah, totally. Well, there's lots of whinge heritage in the family. Just to clarify, Xavier and I are in fact cousins.
We go way back.
And I never get to flex any nepotism on this show, so here we go. I like this. What's that feeling like when you actually have the thing out? You know, you work on it for so long.
Well, yeah, it's funny. Like, I mean, I've always done things in full albums. Like, I've never sort of... Well, I did one EP right at the start, but I was kind of like, come on, I can... You know, we can still be releasing 45-minute LPs here. You know?
Hell yeah.
I guess it's just expensive if you're paying someone else to produce it. But the process of making an album can be really weird. You have this sort of, like, drawn out... I want to say the creative phase where you're sort of drawing everything together and getting the rough demos down. Then, you know, you move into the sort of actualization phase of like really tidying up this like 10 odd songs.
And yeah, right.
That can be, it's such a strange process because A, by that point you've heard the songs so many times. You have no idea really how they sound to a fresh pair of ears. And you also just get so like, I just move into this different zone where I cannot conceive the possibility of A, writing something new, or and B, just like even continuing music after this album at all, you know? And it's having the last two albums, like both albums I've done, I'm just like, God, I just need to get this thing done.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Are you one to like fixate on things for a long time though?
I would definitely say I'm quite an obsessive character.
Yeah, there you go. You're working your brain until it no longer wants to see these things.
I tire it out.
Let's play the song and we'll come back to hear a bit more about it and what else is to come. But for now, though, audience, this is Stones on a Beach by Xavier Enright. Do enjoy.
On a beach, I've never been one for the sand. I'd give everything I have to have such summer fun, to touch the sky with olive hands, get on with everyone. No, I'm stranded on the rocks. Don't have the blunt and salty love. I'd cry.
castle across the land. The miserable plight of a storm. I was no woman and she told me that my mind was broken. You got so many ticks and they're not an easy fix, you'll be lonesome. You will never have a normal life, she said, forget about the sand, just be grateful for everything you have. Forget about the sun. 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 Forget about the sun.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Liam.
How do you feel? I mean, you've heard it 1,000 times. But obviously, like, at some point you must just hit satisfaction with your final product, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if an artist ever does. I kind of feel like it can. I mean, you kind of go into it hoping you're going to really, like, bring something into the world that sort of says it all.
Yeah.
But I feel like actually just being an artist is a constant process and...
Yeah, I suppose it is. You know what I mean? There's never, like, a conclusion to it, really, is there?
Then there's always, like, there's you could always do more and do this,
yeah,
do that.
Yeah,
it's like, it's really just like a bucket with a hole in the bottom of it.
Oh, the eternal torture of being a musician. I have no idea how it doesn't drive you insane.
Oh, well, I was already a bit insane. So.
Yeah, it's fine. I was already there. No worries. So, that's a single off the upcoming album.
Yeah. I've been working on a whole album. Yeah, so...
So, are we allowed to know, like, the name of the album or anything?
Yeah. There's quite a bit of significance to the name, even. I'm such an overthinker when it comes to these things. But, yeah, the album's called For the Lonely Listener.
For the Lonely Listener. But that's a great name for an album. It works so well. So, in terms of, like, because you've released a couple of songs now, was that, like, obvious what you're going to... releases like singles?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's some. I've got one more single to release, and some of the songs there's a few songs I've written recently which really just sort of flowed out, and I'm like, damn, those would have made mean singles.
But, yeah, right. Interesting.
But yeah, I mean, because man, doing it all myself is really like it's like this cart, this shaky wooden cart just bouncing down the road. The wheels are always on the verge of falling off and I'm like patching them up while the car's still rolling.
Oh, lovely. That's great.
So sometimes you just got to throw out the one that's ready, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. I kind of actually love that line of thinking. I admire that a lot. So when can we expect this album?
Yeah, definitely the start of next year. It's mostly done. I've got all the songs, everything's recorded except I've got this giant sort of 10-minute long finale.
Of course you do.
You know, man.
Oh, my God, of course you do.
It's a play. It's a play written to folk music.
Yeah, it's a whole folklore, basically, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How the hell are you going to record that?
Oh, it's actually been quite troublesome because it has... It's got several sort of tempo changes and, like, I've ended up having to do it in, like, 10 separate projects.
Right.
And I've just sort of, like, had all the parts. And then I've got the guitar recorded, but I need to do the vocals. And you're meant to do vocals all in one day. But doing a 10-minute long song is essentially, like, doing, like, 3 songs in one day. And I just keep putting it off because it's just going to be annoying.
You just got to do it.
Yeah,
you just got to bite the bullet and do it.
I do. It's the last. I've left it till the last thing.
Yeah, you've really left it till the last thing, haven't you? My God.
That's going to be great, though. It's gonna be great.
Curious to hear that one. So I take it it's all kind of written and all that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's been written for a long time.
Yeah. Are you a particularly... like patient person, because like all this music stuff, I mean, particularly from like that's a standout from having started this job. It's like really discovering how long the slog is to make music.
Yeah.
And like, how do you internalize that? Are you okay with it?
I mean, it's like an ebb and flow thing. Like, that's part of the process. Is, yeah, you get into it and you're like, oh, or you hear a song and the way that, I mean, especially rock music, like, it sounds so flowy and expressive. You don't realize just how, like, calculated it is and how careful you have to be to get these, like, I mean, the way that a song can, like, crescendo and you hear this, like, climactic moment. I mean, when we sort of experience those emotions normally, they're very, like, spur-of-the-moment kind of feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
But to stage that effect in a recording is, like, completely sort of different.
Oh, God. I guess that would just... It would take a while to get that right.
Yeah. And you got to not be... I mean, I think part of it is, like... Well, when I started off, I was, like... And maybe a lot of musicians like this. You got this real raw feeling.
Yeah.
But actually you do need to sort of trade away some of the rawness for being careful and getting it right. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like, how do you not, along the journey, how do you not lose your lose that feeling but get more precise?
Yeah, right. God, that seems difficult. Fuck being a musician. God almighty, I'll just do this part, thanks. Okay, so... Shit, what was I going to ask? Oh, yes, no. So I think what's really interesting, and I don't often have guests in this position, but not often do you meet someone trying to write and record an album at the same time as doing a master's degree.
Oh, yeah, I do like to keep busy, actually.
That's, like, it's a lot on your plate. So, and really, I also just want to, like... quietly brag you're doing a master's degree here as well. We'll get that in there. But like, how is it balancing all of this?
Master's
degree, for example, is a deadline. An album doesn't necessarily.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sort of hoping to get them done about the same time. But I just have, my theory is I just starve myself of dopamine. Like I have no schedule. Well, aside from the masters, I have a deadline. But I just don't let myself watch any TV. I don't have a phone on me most of the time. And I just, like, if I don't feel like... I sort of write, or I read, or I work on my masters, or I work on my album. And if I don't feel like doing any of those things, I also meditate. So I'll just, like, I'll just sit there and, like...
So, but you have time. Like, you're managing your time, okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you do nothing else, then you'd be surprised.
Fair. Now, but, like, it's not like this is a master's in anything musical either. Like,
no.
Really polar opposite ends of the spectrum, your life.
Well, like, that's what people think. Yeah, I'm doing, for the people at home, I'm doing a master's in pure mathematics.
Yeah, pure mathematics, numbers. Well, yeah.
I think the thing you think, like, you think musicians are these cool sort of wavy people, and that's what they want you to think. But I can tell you with certainty, even the ones that aren't doing math degrees, they're all awkward. Shy, awkward control freaks, and there's no other way that you could try to master a talent like playing an instrument if you weren't a control freak.
IDU does not endorse this message. I, however, do. It's true. And I mean that in the most charming way possible. It's an incredible skill. Yeah, right. So a lot of people be like, so he's run an album and all this, but he's getting his like maths masters. Like, what the fuck do you want to do with your life?
Well, there is a few artists that I like. I take inspiration from. I don't know. Do you know Floating Points?
Floating Points, I do.
The electronic artist. Well, yes. he's a neurosurgeon, and that's his.
Really.
And one of the members of Queen had a PhD in physics.
Yeah, Brian May.
Yeah,
is it Brian May? I think that's his name.
Plenty of musicians. What I'm saying is, plenty of musicians. I mean, they all had. They're all nerds.
Yeah, you can.
Behind every good piece of music, there's a nerd.
I love that. Oh my god, get that tattooed on your chest. Honestly, that is words to live and die by.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say that is really quite impressive. How was it? Yeah, you and your sister really turned out to be the smart ones of the family.
Yeah, she's doing electrical engineering or something.
Yeah, yeah. She's not as psycho as you. I mean, she hasn't made an album as well.
I'm definitely the arty black sheep of the family, I'd say. You're the arty pink sheep of the family.
Yeah, yeah. There's not much art in our family, is there? No offense. Oh, none of them will be fucking listening. But yeah, we're not an arty family. Super. Oh, well, you can't have it all, really. Right, we're also, I'm going to play now Living is Dying.
Living is Dying.
Did you know that, everyone? Living is Dying. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this one?
Yeah, so, I mean, this song, well, you know, there gets to a point in as a musician. I mean, when you start, you think, well, I'm the next Kanye West. You know, it's just it's a hop, skip, and a jump to the top of rock and roll. You know,
yeah, right.
That's what you think, but you don't heed the warning of, I don't know if it's AC/DC, that it's actually a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. You know, you don't heed that warning at the start of your career, but you soon discover the truth and wisdom in that song.
Yeah, of course.
At that point, I was sort of like, well, why do I keep going? You have to search for some reason. And this song is a sort of expression of that reason. It's somebody freezing cold on one side of a river, and they're looking at some thin ice, and they're like, oh, well, that ice is probably going to crack. But then they see over the other side of the river is like a lovely, fun crowd of people all with nice fur coats.
Right.
And the point of the song is, you know, well, I don't think that crossing the ice is going to go well, but I have no better options.
Yeah, yeah, right. Wow.
And that's
deep. That's
what keeps me going.
But we've all been there, you know. You know, this isn't going to do me good, but I got to do it type thing. Well, that's powerful stuff. Just quickly, before we play the song and let you go. If people want to like keep up to date with you and follow you or listen to your music and all that, where can they do that?
Yeah, so it's on all streaming platforms under Xavier Space Enright, my full real name, which I kind of regret now because the songs are really, really quite pathetic at times. And I've just owned them under my full name. And also, my Instagram is Xavier Enright, but no space, so just Xavier Enright.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Now, you did, I feel like you once had a, like, musical moniker that wasn't your name.
I did have Zav, or just X-A-V.
Zav.
And it was just, if you searched for it, it just didn't come up. That was really
why
I chose the longer form.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. That, now, because you did, like, short red hair phase. Was that
I did have some bright red hair.
Was that Zav era? Was that someone else?
Those were dark days that we don't talk about. That was, yeah, actually, when I really, really had just started making music, I was in all the jazz bands and things at school, but then I torrented FL Studio, and I remember going to the music office and being like to the teacher, I was like, look, sir, I'm quitting all the bands because I want to focus on making trap beats. And they all thought I was an idiot. And, well, I haven't made it. Yeah, here I am, unsuccessful, so maybe that.
Hey, well, I think you should make some trap. I'd love to hear it. Right, well, Xavier, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you in. And usually I just say that and don't even mean it. But obviously, I have enjoyed this. It's been delightful for me.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we're going to play Living Is Dying now. Go follow Xavier on all things. Listen to his music. message him and tell him to make some trap music and all that, all that. Ask him about the Smiths, everything. yeah, one more time, Xavier. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Liam. Thank you very much.
Is it really all that bad to walk on rivers when they're frozen? Don't think I can stand the land, always fearing the unknown. I see a crowd all dressed in furs, gathered on the far side of the water, and though the cold gets worse and worse, still the ice could always shatter. On the ice I must walk, where I haven't learned to trust. Far side, I'm not worthy, but what do I have that's really keeping me here? All these tiny whispering words, yeah, they get beneath my skin. They stained my page and wrote this verse. Routine reminders of my sins in a hallway filled with doors, each one leads to another. Portraits hanging on the wall, but I can't make out their feelings. On the ice I must walk, where I haven't learned to trust. Off the far side I'm not worthy, but what do I have that's really keeping me? Yes, though I did fall against the shoreline rocks my corpse, but I'd have froze just not as fast, standing there stranded on the path.